Let's get going. We do have five of us here. So let's start with introduction of the planning commissioners. My name is Jim Simmons. I represent District 3. Doug?
Doug Carman, District 2.
Eric?
Eric Cassino, District 2.
Scott?
Scott Nelson, District 3.
And Kevin?
Kevin Festinger, District 1.
Thank you, guys. So I'm looking for an approval of tonight's agenda.
So move.
Seconded.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, so looking to on item two, approval of the meeting minutes for October 6th, 2021 and October 20th, 2021.
So move.
Seconded.
It's been moved and seconded. So all those in favor of approval of the meeting minutes signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? I need to back up here for a minute. I'm kind of coffee jacked up. So I just want to welcome everybody to the Wednesday, November 3rd, 2021 virtual meeting of the Thurston County Planning Commission here on Zoom. So we're going into move into our public communications segment. For this virtual meeting, please choose the raise your hand option if you wish to address the Planning Commission. If you're dialing in, press 9 to raise your hand. The chair will unmute you when it is your turn to speak. Make sure you also choose 6 to unmute yourself. The 3-minute timer will show on one of the video screens to help keep track of time. If you have issues speaking and being heard, please disconnect from the Zoom meeting and call 360-972-6785 to make your public comments. Just a reminder, we do have a couple of public hearings today. One is on the capital improvement plan and the other on CR5 places of worship. So if you have a comment concerning those issues, please save those until we get to that public hearing time, and you'll be able to speak at that point. So are there any folks out there that would like to speak? I've not seen any hands right now. Any attendees that would like to speak up on anything other than the law on the capital improvement or the CR5? Okay, not seeing any, so we're moving on. So right now we're going to item 4, work session on the A7 low impact development targeted improvements from Andrew.
Hello, commissioners. Give me 1 second to go ahead and share my screen. Can everyone see the screen? Great. Good evening. My name is Andrew Bond, an associate planner with Community Planning. This evening, I'm presenting on Development Code Docket Item A7, Low Impact Development Code Amendment, also known as LID. Included within this presentation is a motion for the Planning Commission to consider if they are comfortable moving forward with a public hearing. This code amendment is part of the 2020-2021 Development Code Docket. This stems from the original adoption of the Low Impact Development Regulations in 2016. Since 2016, there have been a few issues that have been identified, including implementation issues, as well as impervious surface limit lot for small lot issues. On April 23rd, 2020, the Board of County Commissioners identified four aspects for community planning staff to address with this code amendment. Hard surface credits that applied to lots 2.5 or less, lots needing long access driveways, Kin Lake Special Overlay District, and 10% impervious limits on large rural lots. Included within these amendments are new definitions, updated references, and process improvement changes that will simplify the overall review process for the public. The following chapters have amendments located within them. Chapter 20.03, Structures, Interpretations, and Definitions. Chapter 20.07, Lot, Yard, Use, and Structure Regulations. Chapter 20.30, Planned Residential Development. Chapter 20.30A, Planned Rural Residential Development. And finally, Chapter 23.04, Residential Districts. The proposed ordinance has been reviewed by Public Works, Development Services, and Community Planning Stormwater Program Coordinator. On November 18th, staff is holding an informational session with the Stormwater Advisory Board and we'll invite them for comment on the proposal. Here is the motion for the Planning Commission to consider at the end of this meeting. And that concludes my presentation. I'm available for any questions. Thank you.
Any questions or comments from you guys?
Andrew, have you gotten much feedback from the public on these proposed changes yet?
I've received no public comment at this time.
Okay.
So is there anybody willing to make a motion to set a public hearing for December 1, 2021 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard on developmental code docket item A7, low impact development?
I would move to make that.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to set the public hearing for December 1, 2021 at 7 p.m. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? So that motion carries and we'll be having that public hearing. So kind of out of the water here, we have 20 minutes before our next, before the before our public hearing. So we can do calendars and staff, or should we try to get one of the work sessions in from later this evening? I don't know procedurally where we can go with this, so I'm looking for help.
I'd recommend calendar and staff updates prior to the public hearings. That's something we can easily complete. The Upcastle discussion will probably take the full 30 minutes or maybe some more time. So I don't know if we want to begin that. And I'm not sure how much time Andy is planning on SMP, but he can probably utilize whatever's left of the meeting as well. So.
Thanks, Maya. That's what I'm looking for. So, well, since you're there, how about staff updates?
Yeah, so not many big staff updates to share. As you all know, we have busy planning commission schedule through the end of the year. We always see a big rush of projects coming in. There will be some new projects coming before the planning commission before the end of the year. And most of those will be informational at this time. I do want to provide an update on the Tumwater Joint Plan. So the Planning Commission did review that project back in May. And today the board provided a preliminary direction 2-1 to go with the city's recommendation to retain that one section. They won't be taking a final action on that until the end of November, early December. So it has not been adopted yet. But we have gotten a direction from the board to move forward with that plan. And we expect to complete that before the end of the year. The only other update I have is on the wireless subcommittee that is moving forward, and they have had a first stakeholder meeting on that. It did begin a little bit later than we had hoped. I think the first meeting was in October, And then the plans moving forward for that group are second meeting in November and then a third meeting in early December. So wireless will likely not be returning to the Planning Commission before the end of the year. But once those stakeholder meetings are complete, we will kick up the review of that project again. And that's it for staff updates.
Thank you.
I got a question for Maya.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
On the Tumwater deal, is there any indication whether the commission's going with our recommendation or Tumwater's?
It was a 2-1 vote. Two of the commissioners went with Tumwater's recommendation and one commissioner with the Planning Commission, Erskine County Planning Commission recommendation. So the final plan will include section 11.1.6.
And I guess since we've got time, we got our memorandum for the Upcastle, apparently, and today we got comments. Didn't we close our public hearing like 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, that's a great thing. And I will make that clear on the record right now for the public. That public hearing did close on October 6th, and that was the end of the formal comment period. It is pretty standard that we continue to receive public comment in written format after a public hearing. And we do typically include those for the Planning Commission to consider, but it's really at your discretion how much weight the Planning Commission wants to give anything that we've received after the close of that public hearing. The formal comment period did end on October 6th. So.
Okay. So I'll just say for everybody, in my opinion, it is inappropriate for us to consider any comments that came in after that point. Those can go to the board. They can discuss it. We have to discuss what came before us on the date of the public testimony. We'd have to just keep allowing people to comment every week. And we at some point we have to just say we're going to stop and we're going to make a decision.
Yeah, and we are open as staff if there is a better way for us to include those comments, or if the Planning Commission wishes for us not to include any of the comments we receive after the public hearing. This has just been kind of a standard process. We will label them as received after close, and then we include them in the packet that comes for the follow-up work session. But we're open to not including those in the future if that makes it easier for the Planning Commission to make their deliberations.
Any other discussion on that subject? I get what you're saying, Scott, and I kind of agree with where you're headed. Okay, well, let's move to calendar then. So for our November 17th meeting, will anybody be unable to attend November 17th? Looks like good. How about December 1? Okay, so it looks like we're all good for that. So it looks like we're on a break here until 7 o'clock, when we will reconvene for our public hearing. Let's see. Okay. I've got 7 o'clock. We're here today to hold a public hearing on comprehensive plan docket item number CP4, an annual update to the capital improvement program, which is Appendix G in the comprehensive plan. This is a virtual public meeting. Those wishing to testify have joined by Zoom, phone, emailed in comment, or mailed in comment. If you wish to testify, please choose the raise your hand option. If you are dialing in, press 9 to raise your hand. The chair host will call your name and unmute you when it is your turn to speak. Make sure you also choose 6 to unmute yourself. If you have issues speaking or being heard, please disconnect from the Zoom meeting and call 360-972-6785. Each person will have 3 minutes to testify. I will be calling out names for oral testimony. When you hear your name, please come forward. Time may not be given to another person. When testifying, please provide your name and address for the record. And Polly, could you go over the timer, please?
Yes, there will be 3 minutes, and it will show on the screen green until 2 minutes, 30 seconds, at which time it will turn yellow. And then at 3 minutes, it'll turn red.
Thanks, Polly. So we're opening the public hearing, and we're starting off with a staff presentation. Maya Tiepel.
Thank you, Commissioner. Maya Tiepel, Senior Planner with Community Planning. This public hearing tonight is to accept public testimony on the proposed draft of the 2022-2027 Capital Improvement Program, which, as previously stated, is Appendix G in the Thurston County Comprehensive Plan. The Capital Improvement Program is updated annually, and this update will replace in its entirety the 2021 to 2026 Capital Improvement Program. The Capital Improvement Program meets the requirements of the Growth Management Act, RCW 3670A-0703D, for adoption of a 6-year financing program that identifies capital facilities projects and sources of public money for those projects. Capital facilities include transportation infrastructure, water, waste, and sewer infrastructure, parks and open space, and county facilities designed to serve citizens and provide appropriate levels of service for a growing population. They are funded by a variety of public fund sources, including the general funds, impact fees, utility rates, solid waste fees and charges, and road funds, federal state grants, bonds, and the real estate excise tax. The Planning Commission's review of this began on September 15th, where they held a work session to review the draft CIP. And at that meeting, they scheduled a public hearing. And tonight's draft of the CIP has had one project added since the Planning Commission's last review on September 15th. And that project was a transportation project for a culvert replacement at Country Club Road Northwest. That added project was included in the draft available online to the public and also in the draft that was sent in the packet to the Planning Commission. There have been some other smaller formatting updates and updates to the public entities table in Chapter 8 of the CIP. Notification of this public hearing was published in the Olympian on October 7th, 2021. And in addition, a webmail was sent to the Community Planning Division's listserv on that same date. A press release was also issued for the public hearing on October 22nd, 2021, and the community planning site website was made with all the updated documents prior to those notices going out. To date, I have not received any public comments on the CIP, and following the public hearing, we do have a work session scheduled and the option for the Planning Commission to make a recommendation on this item.
If there anyone who wishes to testify on this matter, please raise your hand in the chat. I'm not seeing any raised hands. I hopefully I'm not missing anybody. Anybody out there want to speak? Okay, since we are not seeing anybody that would like to share at this point, or this is your shot, I guess we close the public hearing and we'll move into our work session.
Great. So for the work session tonight, I don't have any new additions. As I mentioned in my script, I did not receive any public comment on this proposal, and hopefully I have the correct motion up there. But I do have staff available from the departments if the Planning Commission has any questions on specific projects. Those folks are here to answer those questions, and I'll open up that discussion to the Planning Commission.
Any questions for staff? Anybody be willing to make this motion? This should be on your screen.
I would move to recommend the approval of amendments to Appendix G of the Thurston County Comprehensive Plan, the 2022 to 2027 Capital Improvement Program, by repealing and replacing the 2021 to 2026 CIP in its entirety.
Second.
Is there any other discussion concerning this? All those in favor to move to recommend approval of the amendments, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, no. Thank you to all the staff that showed up. I wish we had something for you to do.
Yes, thank you to all the department staff who showed up. I appreciate you being here tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you for spending your time with us. We have a couple more. Let me make sure I'm in the right place. So we have a couple minutes. Oh, so we're starting at 7:10. We have a couple minutes, and then we'll move into our development of code docket item CR5, places of worship code amendment. We're whipping right along. I didn't think we'd get it. Okay, here we go. Today, November 3rd, 2021, we are here to hold a public hearing on developmental code docket, item CR-5, This is a worship code amendment. This is a virtual public hearing. Those wishing to testify have joined by Zoom, phone, emailed in comment, or mailed in comment. If you wish to testify, please choose the raise your hand option. If you are dialing in, press 9 to raise your hand. Chair host will call your name and unmute you when it is your turn to speak. Make sure you also choose 6 to unmute yourself. If you have issues speaking or being heard, please disconnect from the Zoom meeting and call 360-972-6785. Each person will have 3 minutes to testify. I'll be calling out names for oral testimony. When you hear your name, please come forward to testify. Time may not be given to another person. When testifying, please provide your name and address for the record. Holly, could you review the public comment timer, please?
Yes, you'll have 3 minutes, and at the first part will be green until you get to 2 minutes, 30 seconds. At that point, it'll turn yellow. And then at 3 minutes, it'll turn red, which means you're out of time.
Thanks, Polly. So we're opening the public hearing. Maya, could you give us a little background?
Thank you. Maya Teeple, Senior Planner with Community Planning. As stated, this public hearing is to accept public testimony on development code docket item CR-5, which is the Places of Worship Code Amendment. And these proposed amendments would impact Chapter 23.04 of the Thurston County Code, which is the Residential Districts Chapter of the Olympia Urban Growth Area Zoning Code. And specifically, the proposed amendments would allow for additional types of associated uses to places of worship that allow churches to house and train students interested in faith on site to the property. There are three options being included for this public hearing for the citizens to comment on and the Planning Commission to consider. And all of those proposed options only apply to the Olympia Urban Growth Area Zoning Code. So to review those at a very high level, option one expands zones where dormitories are permitted to the R4 and R4 to 8 zoning districts, only in conjunction with a place of worship and through a special use permit. Option two is the same as option one, but also includes regulatory criteria to limit the size and scale of dormitories that are permitted with a place of worship. And option three adds guest houses and single room occupancies as an associated use to the place of worship rather than expanding the zones where dormitories can occur. This proposal was previously reviewed by the Planning Commission on August 4th and September 15th of 2021. And on September 15th, the Planning Commission scheduled this public hearing on the three options. Notice of this public hearing was provided in the Olympian on October 7th, and a webmail was sent out to the community planning listserv on the same date, and a press release was also issued for this item on October 22nd, 2021. The website was updated with all of the documents prior to this hearing being noticed, and I'll quickly go over the public comments received. So we did receive 5 additional public comments from the original packet that went out to the Planning Commission, and all of that was forwarded to the Planning Commission tonight before this meeting and posted on the website. And in total, staff received 7 public comments by the close of the comment period. 5 of those were in support of option one, and 2 of those were in support of option two. Comments that were in support of option one noted that this is the option that is at the heart of the request of the church and would best fit their needs. And one comment in support of option two was from the City of Olympia. And the City of Olympia noted that these types of uses typically occur within residential areas. And so limitations on size and scale and requiring that dorms are subordinate to the primary use on the property is an appropriate limitation for this type of a code amendment. And then the other comment that we received in support of option two references Olympia's comment and says that they support their statement. So in summary, 5 were in support of option 1 and 2 comments were in support of option 2. And that concludes my remarks on this.
So if you would like to testify, please raise your hand. And remembering to give your name and address for the record. We do have one as of right now, Charlotte Persons.
Hello, I'm Charlotte Persons. I live at 903 Glass Avenue Northeast in Olympia. And as a person living in a residential area in Olympia with, you know, 5 or 6 churches, some huge, within a 2 or 3 block area, I would like to say that I support option 2 for the reasons that the city of Olympia said, mainly to limit the size of dormitories and to make them subordinate to the church's use. This is partly because I used to live in Texas and I know what mega churches look like. So I'm hoping that you will vote for the more restrictive option. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anybody else that would like to testify on this matter? Anybody else? I'm not seeing any other hands, so at this time I will close this meeting and go into the work session.
All right, so my PowerPoint should be up. I have a very short PowerPoint for this work session just to review the 3 code options that are before the Planning Commission, and then the option for the Planning Commission to make a recommendation is there tonight, and we'll have an opportunity for discussion on this. So just to go over those options again, option 1 expands the zones where dormitories are permitted to R4 and R4 to 8 zoning districts only, and dormitories would require a special use permit in those zones and can only be permitted with a place of worship. So it's a pretty narrow expansion. Option 2 is the same as option 1. It expands where dormitories may be permitted with a place of worship, but it also includes that regulatory criteria that limits the size and scale of dormitories that are permitted with places of worship. And option 3 is a bit of a diversion. It adds guest houses and single room occupancies as an associated use to a place of worship. So instead of expanding zones where dorms could occur, it looks at different type of uses that could potentially be utilized but are on a much smaller scale. So going over option 2 a little bit more in depth, this is the option that expands the zones where dormitories can occur but includes the regulatory criteria to limit size and scale. As the code is currently written, there are 2 options for how size and scale is regulated. And one option requires that dorms be accessory in size, scale, and function to the principal worship site facility on site. That means that it would vary depending on what that facility, that principal facility looks like. So it would be a little bit more flexible depending on the type of property and the existing facility. And this was recommended as a minimum measure to include by the city of Olympia so that we could limit dorms to be accessory in nature to the principal worship facility and not run into situations where we have a dorm that is 3 times the size of the church that is on site, or cases where a dorm is permitted on a site that a church owns, but there is not an existing church on. So that is where that language comes from. The second option on limiting size and scale is to have a flat out square footage, room number, and bed number. And then we could have both as the code is currently written, both are in there. So the Planning Commission does have a little bit of flexibility whether to recommend one, the other, or both. I just wanted to be clear that the City of Olympia recommends a minimum of requiring that they be accessory in size, scale, and function. And so my last slide is the draft motion for the Planning Commission, and I'll open it up for discussion and questions at this time.
Maya, how would they look at accessory in size? What's the criteria?
So accessory means it must be smaller than the principal structure that is on site.
So it's not a percentage of the site of the worship facility or just smaller?
No, typically not. Use sometimes would, I'd have to go back and look at the code to be exact, but I believe when it's referring to a use, it means, I think, like 50% of the principal use. But I could certainly bring that information back if the Planning Commission would like that before making a final decision.
Maya, with a special use permit, would that be reviewed by a hearing examiner?
That's correct, yes.
And the hearing examiner would then have the opportunity to put size and scope limitations on any kind of dormitory?
Yes, as long as it's consistent with the current code.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But with a hearing examiner, each one of these then could be reviewed by the neighbors because they're invited to come to the hearing examiner's proceedings. I would move to recommend approval of development code docket item CR5, the places of worship code amendment as presented in option 2, which amends chapter 23.04, the residential districts chapter and the Olympia Urban Growth Area Zoning Code.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion on that? So, and along with that, I guess, are you saying that both the sub options A and B or just one of them?
I thought we would address those options separate once we decided on two. But okay. If you want me to make a include that in my motion, I will.
I'm good with either way. I just want to make sure that it's clear in my head. So all those in favor of recommending option 2, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
So it looks like right now we have a 3-2. You're muted, Scott, so I didn't know which way you
went. Aye.
Okay, so it looks like the majority has passed that. So we'll move forward.
Well, we've only got 5, so we need unanimous.
Sorry.
Because you have to have 5 of 9?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Thanks, Scott. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you, Scott, for that.
I really like the idea that these would get individual reviews by the hearing examiner, and it would give the opportunity for the neighborhoods to comment as well as each of these places of worship to make their best case. And I personally think that that would be best done with option 1.
One of the concerns with option 1 is, as stated by the City of Olympia, that you could potentially have a property that is owned by a church with no church on site and have a dormitory constructed on that property. So there are some loopholes to that as kind of a flexibility for a church. That's why the additional criteria was suggested, but you can certainly make that recommendation.
This is Kevin. I'm not sure which commissioner pointed out previously that creating an ordinance that's allowing unlimited size is not really planning. It's not much of a planning job to say unlimited size.
Yeah,
So that's why I'm opposed to option one.
I think that if Doug's motion was amended to include just the City of Olympia's minimum recommendation, then you could have your fifth vote for me. Could we amend that?
Well, here's my recommendation is that, Jim, tell us that the motion failed and then we can make a new recommendation.
Okay.
So that motion from Doug's has failed to garner the enough votes. So is there another motion to put on the table here? Would somebody like to do that?
I'm looking for.
Go ahead, Scott, do it for us.
I'm looking for the language right now.
To be on page 5.
I would move to recommend approval of development code docket item CR5, the places of worship code amendment as presented in option 2, which amends chapter 23.04, the residential districts chapter in the Olympia Urban Growth Area Zoning Code, and that we recommend only limiting the size, but not putting a hard number on square footage or maximum rooms or beds.
I'd second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded that we take on this motion to recommend the approval of developmental code docket item CR5. Is there any other discussion on this? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. We'll pass that along. And thank you, Scott, for the 5 votes. I didn't realize that. Okay, so next we're moving into our work session and recommendation for the CPA 19 UP Castle Land Use and Rezone Amendment. Andrew, are you there? Vaughn? Andrew B., you're up.
Sorry about that. Let me go ahead and share my screen. Can everyone see the presentation? Good evening. My name is Andrew Bond, an associate planner with Community Planning. This is a follow-up work session for the public hearing held on October 6th on the Upcastle Comprehensive Plan Amendment. The request would amend the land use and associated zoning of two parcels in South Thurston County from rural residential resource, one dwelling unit per 5 acres, to rural resource industrial district. Following the close of the public hearing, staff has continued to receive public comment on the proposal. The public comment matrix has been periodically updated to catalog new comment. As of October 27, 2021, staff has received 253 public comment through direct email communication. 238 were received prior to the close of the public hearing, while 15 were received following the public hearing. 14 comments received support the proposal, while 239 public comments expressed concern over the project. The public comments in opposition raise a variety of topics and concerns, including a loss of agricultural lands, the 2021 Buildable Lands Report, compliance with the Comprehensive Plan, Thurston Climate Action Plan, the belief that the county should docket and conduct a county-driven review of rural warehousing in 2022-2023, and CP19 community-driven review of agricultural policies and programs should be completed prior. Comments in support of the proposal highlight adjacent industrial uses, locational benefits, no agricultural practices in years, and within the federal opportunity zone. Additionally, the applicant has also submitted a comment following the public hearing suggesting alternative language for the amendment proposed to chapter 20.29. As mentioned previously on the public comment slide, staff has continued to receive comments since the close of hearing. On October 23rd, staff received a comment from the applicant for the Planning Commission to consider alternative language to the Thurston County Code.
Andrew, yes? I'm going to stop you right there. I don't want to hear about anything that was proposed after we closed our public hearing.
Okay.
I don't know how everybody else feels, but we closed the public hearing. That should be the end of it.
If the Planning Commission is in agreement of that, we will skip all those slides and proceed to the motions.
I'm going to agree with that.
I agree.
Okay, I will move down to the motions. Staff has three optional motions for the Planning Commission to consider. We do have the option for the Planning Commission to make a recommendation on the agenda tonight. However, we can have more discussion on the proposal if time is needed. The first motion reads, move to recommend approval of the comprehensive plan docket item CP19, Upcastle Land Use and Rezone Amendment, which would amend the land use plan and change the land use from rural residential resource, one dwelling unit per 5 acres, to rural resource industrial and rezone appropriately. Further recommend approval of the amendments to Thurston County Code, Chapter 20.29, to broaden the locational and performance criteria for industrial uses when adjacent to industrial uses. If recommending approval, the Planning Commission may consider revisions to the staff proposed code language that was included in the public hearing, which could include revising the code language to reference industrial zoning rather than industrial development, or excluding the approval of a code amendment to Title 20.29 Rural Industrial and leaving it just with the rezoning. This would not meet the applicant's desired uses. Motion two would move to recommend denial of the comprehensive plan docket CP19, Upcastle Land Use and Rezone Amendment, which would maintain the current land use and zoning of the property as rural resource industrial, one dwelling unit per 5 acres, and recommend no changes to Title 20.29. And finally, motion three reads, move to recommend that the county conduct a review of industrial lands availability countywide, including within rural and urban growth areas, and if industrial lands are needed, and evaluate sitting of new industrial lands within the comprehensive look of the whole county. Further recommend holding review of all outside of UGA's individual industrial uses and rezoning requests until completion of the study. Sorry, that was kind of a mouthful. This motion was developed as an option based on the public comment received that request a countywide study be done of industrial lands, and based on previous discussion with the Planning Commission, the last sentence of the motion could be revised in a way that specifies which applications the Planning Commission recommends to be put on hold. If they choose all, this would apply to all current and future docketed applications for industrial land use and rezoning amendments, which would include UGAs. Only future would apply to all future docketed applications for industrial land use and rezoning amendments, but continue review and final action on the applications already docketed. And finally, all outside the UGA would apply to all current and future docketed applications for industrial land use and rezoning amendments that are in unincorporated rural county, but would not apply to applications in the UGA or being reviewed as part of a joint plan or sub-area plan. And that concludes my presentation, and I'm available for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Andrew, are there any other requests right now?
There are two currently docketed items. The first one is Beaver Creek, which is the 390-acre industrial rezone. Mm-hmm. And the there's a rezone within, there's two actually within the Grand Mound. It's the Black Lake Quarry and the Jackson and Thigh, which is a 19-acre one. Maya, is there any others that you can think of?
Yeah, so there's two rural rezones, Upcastle and Beaver Creek. And as Andrew mentioned, Beaver Creek is the 390-acre one that's at the Maytown exit. And then the other two industrial requests that we have in right now are both in the Grand Mound sub-area plan. So they are within an urban growth area, or they're requesting to amend the urban growth area. I should be clear on that. And we are accepting applications on a rolling basis, and we accept up until November 15th. And anything we receive by that date gets considered in the docketing session in early 2022. So there is a possibility that more requests come in before that date. But as of now, those are the four that we have on the workload.
Is there any other questions? Eric?
Andrew, would you mind bringing up your motions page again for us to look at?
Absolutely. Give me 1 second. Share my screen. Can everyone see it? Great.
Anybody willing to make a motion at this time?
I will. I move that we recommend maintaining the current land use and zoning of the property as rural residential resource, one dwelling per 5 units, and recommend no changes to existing code criteria under Chapter 2029 Thurston County Code.
I second that motion.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor of that motion to keep it the same, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
So that's everybody. So we got that.
Yeah, as I've mentioned in the past, we continue to get these requests. I think it would behoove us to look at motion three and do some work on what land should be available for industrial development so that it's planned and it's strategic versus random.
I agree.
Doug, you can make motion three as well. We can send two recommendations to the BOCC.
Right. I move to recommend the county conduct a review of industrial lands available countywide, including within rural I'm going to say including within rural areas, and if additional industrial lands are needed and evaluate siting of new industrial lands with a comprehensive look at the whole county. Further recommend holding off all outside of UJA individual industrial land use and rezoning requests until completion of study.
I'd second that motion.
All those in favor of motion three? Or is there any discussion? Any discussion?
I have concern about that because we have people that have already been put on the docket and I believe have been on the docket for a while already. And so to tell, and who knows how long this will take. So, you know, let's say they just applied this year. So they're on now. You got to imagine it's going to be at least 2 years before the county gets through this review. And so I don't know that we should tell them that, you know, oh, hey, you know, because we're going to do this review, you need to wait for two more years.
It sounds like the only other project it would affect would be the Beaver Creek Dairy Farm. Is that correct?
That's correct.
We have a motion on the floor that's been seconded.
So is there, so if there's only one and they have until December 15th to bring in new ones,
November 15th.
Pardon me?
November 15th.
November 15th?
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, perhaps it should be only future. So if we want to vote this one down and redo it, that's fine with me. But, or I can change it to only future.
Let's vote on this one. And then if it goes down, then we'll move to the to an amended one. Does that sound fair? Okay, so all those in favor of motion three as stated by Doug, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Nay.
Okay, so you want to try a new motion, Doug?
Yes, so I will make the same motion, but it's only future projects.
I'd second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded. That motion, is there any conversation on that? All those in favor then, signify by saying aye.
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 And so that was everybody. So, okay. So we're going to move those two motions forward to the board.
Thank you, commissioners.
Thank you all. And so we're moving now to our Shoreline Master Program work session and recommendations. Andrew.
Hey, good evening, planning commissioners. Andrew DeFobis, interim senior planner with Community Planning and Economic Development. You guys are setting a land speed record for planning commission meetings tonight. I'm impressed. We are ahead of agenda here. So I'm here to come back with essentially a recap and open up discussion after the master program public hearing that was held on October 20th. We had about 20 people attend that meeting in person in room 280, and about 10 of those spoke at that hearing. On Zoom, we had about 135 people who had registered for that meeting ahead of the meeting. About 17 of them spoke. And at the height of the meeting, it appeared there were about 90 to 95 folks that were tuned in on Zoom. We don't get a metric for, you know, how many people were there during the meeting, but, you know, as I was watching, it was about 90, 95 people that were on at the height of it, in addition to the panelists. So we received 302 written comments in total from the public, and then 5 comments from agencies. All of those comments were posted online and along with a comment matrix. And we also published a memo last week that discussed the themes that were included with those comments and also has those statistics as well. So beginning tonight and over the next few work sessions, the Planning Commission will begin to prepare its recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners on the master program. In doing so, we wanted to first give you an opportunity to highlight specific code sections that you might want to discuss based on your review of public comment or specific policy areas that would lend themselves to review of specific sections. We'll be looking at the various options in the draft that went to public hearing that we've heard from the public on and asking Planning Commission to make recommendations on those. And staff has also been reviewing the comments received and will introduce specific items for Planning Commission to look at based on that review. So once I know what you wanna look at, can plan out over the next few work sessions, how to bring that back and how to be methodical and efficient and move things along. So that's all the remarks that I had to open up. I'm really interested to hear from the Planning Commission about your review of public comments and the public hearing.
Andy, I don't mind giving you my thoughts first, but I think one of the first places that we should start is those last few SED review requests. So if we can take a look at those, especially that one out in Boston Harbor, I think is a little bit problematic. So if we can go through that one again, that'd be great. And then the Thurston County Shoreline Coalition, their key issues, if we can knock those out, that would be really great too. And I think that'd be a great place to start. And that would probably fill up a whole planning session on its own, but be interesting to hear what others say.
Okay, so kind of bring those back as, I guess, bullet point level, issue by issue. And, we can also point to which specific code sections. So I want to keep the conversation centered on, whatever changes Planning Commission wants to introduce in light of public comment, that it's going to, specific code sections. So I think we could do that. I've been tracking the number of requests that we received, specific requests for specific shoreline reaches. So those are things that we can review with Planning Commission. I fully expect that's something that you would want to review based on the conversations that led up to the public hearing and some of those ones that we did early this year.
Andrew, I of course have comments on just about every section. A lot fewer in each section now that we've worked on a lot of them, but I still do have lots of those. But I'm concerned about the SEDs. It seems like most of them that we have reviewed so far, we've changed. I know of some that I would have made as natural, that weren't made as natural. And so I'm concerned that even though we tried very hard to let all people know that their property was reclassified or could have been reclassified and caused some problems, I'm concerned that we as a group haven't really reviewed the appendix with all the changes. And it's like a zoning thing. You went through and changed the zone for a lot of people. And I'm wondering whether we need to be more involved in than we have been in those SEDs.
I agree.
Is there a specific proposal you're making with that?
Well, this is a 2014 document that was done, as I understand, not with Planning Commission input.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to be sitting here a year or two or three, whatever it is from now, all of a sudden we got all these requests coming in to change their, variant, whatever, however we get involved in those kinds of things, simply because we didn't do due diligence at this time.
Yeah. And I know we've kind of gone back and forth on this issue in the past, and, I'll reiterate what we have said as staff in the past, which is that a wholesale review of all of the shoreline environment designations that have been proposed is not part of the project scope. It's not something that we are intending to do, outright. So it's something I'd have to circle back with management and see if there's appetite for that. But that thus, every time we have looked into that, the answer has been not to do that, and that we would be looking at specific requests that come up through the public comment period.
Yeah, I don't think that we can look at everything. I mean, it would take us 2 years I'm guessing. Exactly.
That's what I'm wondering, if there's a specific strategy, and you know, we can try to think over that. I'm not sure we'll come up with, but we can look at that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my main concern is when we're moving people from conservancy to natural, or from shoreline residential to natural, you know, those big shifts. And what we've seen so far is that we put it back the other way. So, you know, we've got one property on Long Lake that's 17 acres. It should have been rezoned as natural, but it's not. Now it's going to have 32 houses on it. So those are my concerns about that. I also am concerned with the dock and float stuff in Chapter 600, because it was really developed around the marine environment, and we're applying it to lakes and everything else. It's not, maybe it just needs to be deleted and use our standard stuff. But I know there was testimony from an actual person who's been building docks for 20, 30 years. So he knows how to do it. And what's specified in Chapter 100 won't work on a lake.
Well, I would encourage you, if you have specific, I know you said you have comments on a lot of sections, and I know that's kind of how we've done it in the past, is make sure those come my way. So if you have that prepared, feel free to send that my way. I can share that with Planning Commission. But like I said, you know, we'll take this initial conversation and kind of circle back on a strategy to bring things forward in a methodical approach to get us where we need to be. Yeah.
The other thing is the companion pamphlet we've talked about for some time.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to get an update on where that stands and what your strategy is for its implementation and use. When I first asked about it, my intent was that we have something much like what the Department of Fish and Wildlife has, that if you build your dock this way, it's okay with us.
Is that their
HVAC? Get a permit, but I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, you don't have to go through a whole bunch of engineering and whatnot to get it approved. It's just whether or not it's okay in your shoreline and da 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 da. That kind of thing. So I want to hear more about where you stand with that document and what the intent is.
Mm-hmm. So is that, are you speaking of, is it the HPA? This DFW has a hydraulic project approval?
I think so. I think that's what it is. It's a pamphlet that I, you know, as long as you have that with you, you can do things on your shoreline.
Right.
Like a permit almost in that case. I don't think that's what we're going to be able to do here, but something like that.
So we definitely recognize the need to continue to develop educational materials for implementation of the SMP, both for staff and for the public. We have applied for a grant from the Department of Ecology. There was a new competitive grant program this year for funding for, among other things, implementation for shoreline master programs, and specifically user guides was one element of project, or one type of project that was eligible for funding. So we have applied for that funding. I hope to hear by the end of the year whether we received funding for that. But you know, until I know that, you know, more about how that's going to go, you know, we do expect that the fact sheets that we prepared for as part of the virtual open house would form the backbone of those sorts of that sort of materials, where we're creating information on various topics that we know people are really interested in, and we can continue to modify those as the draft evolves, or as we hear from new, you know, new concerns or new areas where we think we want to produce some of those. So, you know, that we're working on it. We're working on doing a pamphlet, applied for funds, but you know, whether that's going to happen concurrent with development of the draft document, you know, I'm not going to promise that.
We know that close to 93% of the shoreline residential property is already developed. And so one of these, and Ecology reinforced this a year and a half ago in saying, we need to make it easy for the public to conform to difficult. And there is
I'm not sure if you're breaking up or if I am, Doug. I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
I think it's Doug.
Okay.
Is it?
Yeah. Short it out there for a second.
Yeah, it says your internet connection is unstable. Isn't that wonderful? Hmm. My wife must be playing too many games on her computer. Anyway.
So I think, yeah, and, you know, as I definitely got some good ideas for future fact sheets or ways to revamp our existing fact sheets just from listening to public comment and reading the public comments that have come in. So, you know, that's just going to be an ongoing thing that we need to do. And that's now, that's after implementation as well. That's always, you know, something we need to be on top of. So, yeah.
Andrew, I think you guys done a lot and gone way and above what you probably needed to do, but I'm still every now and then I hear somebody that I know is on Shoreline that says they haven't gotten notice about what's going on possibly with their property. So I would like to see if there's going to be some type of continuation of outreach to keep that outreach going so as many people, so I could feel that as many people as possible know that this is going on.
Yeah.
But like I said, still hear that some people.
This is going to sound very contrary coming from me, but I think that part of this too is if we are going to be, I think that consistency from the Planning Commission is more important than some other issues. And if we are not going to be accepting public testimony after a public hearing, I think that if people that have not complained about their SED designations before the public hearing bring them forward now, that just for consistency, we might have to push that off to them complaining to the BOCC on it. And it's outside of our scope at this point. I wish that they were more involved. I wish that if this is going to negatively impact them, they took the time to come and tell us. But I think once the public hearing is closed, the public hearing is closed.
So, that's kind of my messaging to people has been, as I'm getting, you know, a trickle of comments in after the close of the official public comment period, is that informing them of that these comments are not going to go to Planning Commission directly, but they will go to the Board of County Commissioners so that there's another opportunity for those to be addressed. Jim, to your point, so we'll continue to maintain information on our website, and we'll continue to send out webmail, you know, updates on the project, just as we do for all of our projects that go through our subscriber list. Whether there will be a specific public outreach component, like postcard notification, like we did for Planning Commission at the board level, it's too early to say. That may be something that they want to explore. I'm not sure if they would or not, but it may come up because they're very, very aware of the, you know, the notification that went out for the Planning Commission's process.
And Andy, can I?
Please.
Thank you. One other thing that we have started doing this year is we actually have social media posts. And those social media posts go out on the county webpage or Facebook page. And anybody can pick those up and repost them. And the more that this information gets picked up and reposted, the more that our community knows about what's going on within Thurston County and then just within the Thurston County community as well. So we do look to everybody, including our planning commissioners, to take a look at that Facebook page, take a look at our Twitter page. And if you see something that you like, to pick it up and repost it so that those that follow you can see that information and we can get the word out as much as possible.
Just so you all know, I'm still here. I turned my video off so I wouldn't break up.
And Andy, I don't want my comments to be construed as that we shouldn't look at any of the SED challenges. I just think that we should look at the SED challenges that were to us before the end of the public comment period and the individual ones that planning commissioners might already have on their mind. But if members of the public bring new SED challenges, pushing those off, I think that those need to go to the BOCC.
And with respect to anything that, so you mentioned ones that people ask for, but, and also ones that planning commissioners have on their minds, that would be good for me to know sooner rather than later. I would expect there's going to be a fair amount of overlap because you all heard and read the same things that I heard and read. Mm-hmm. And anytime I saw a specific request to, for the county to reconsider that, I did two things. One was make a note of it so that we'd have a concise list. And two was to ask that person, you know, to make sure their comments were steeped in the criteria that that you need to look at to make any changes to those shoreline environment designations. Because the criteria you need to support that change, we're going to need to demonstrate that that we are designating shorelines appropriately when we pass this master program off to ecology for approval. So, are there any other specific sections? I mean, yes, there's, you've given me a lot already. I know there's a couple work sessions we can fill with the items you've given me, but just kind of, I want to take as much or do the best I can tonight to get a, you know, enough raw material from you guys to set out a roadmap. So
are we going to go through the different decision points that we, one by one, all those decision points, we're going to go back and revisit all of those?
Yeah, anything, anywhere where there was an option, you know, so for buffers, for net pens, for some of the specific development standards, we're going to have to, I'll put together some slides for framing what the issue was, you know, what those options were. We asked either the planning commission or public to consider, can give you, you know, boiled down of what we've heard from folks, and then, you know, we'll ask for a recommendation one way or the other.
So. So I just think I want to go back to the SEDs. I think as much as we can, we should try to review mostly the stuff that's changed. And I will point out that as much as we've talked about this, Patrick Townsend, who has been at meetings since 2018, I think, I mean, he's been to a lot of meetings. And he just at the last minute realized, I believe, based on his comments, he just at the last minute went, oh man, Thurston County is changing my designation. Because in the, I don't know, 20 times that we've heard from him, he never mentioned designations before. And so I think that's something that we need to look at, and maybe that's something that we need to pass on to the county commissioners, that, you know, at some point, this needs to be looked at, because whatever it is, staffing issues or, you know, time frame, we have not had the chance to look at this as a whole. The other thing I think we need to look at is we need to check some of our places where we're saying that things are codified in the WAC or RCW, because I believe some of those are wrong. Specifically, are the exemptions for some substantial development permits. It's written in there that it summarizes what the state says. And I think if you look at the ag section, that is 100% not a summary. That is added burden on ag people. And I know, you know, Andrew, you didn't do this, and I don't know who wrote it, but the state clearly exempts agriculture. Thurston County wants to only exempt existing agriculture. And at a time when we've got 200 people showing up to talk about a little 13 acre pasture, you know, and we're talking about Thurston County and agriculture, I don't know that we should be, I don't know why we're going more restrictive than what the state says. And unfortunately, I'm afraid there's a lot of places in this where we go more restrictive than what the state says.
Yeah, I had just anecdotally, I had kind of flagged that section as well. The state makes very specific, state is very prescriptive when it comes to exemptions from the SDP, both in, you know, what they say and then how it's supposed to be construed. So, you know, one option would be to simply just rather than summarize it, just either refer to it or include it verbatim so that there is no confusion. That's one thing I was mulling over, and we'll get there. That's not necessarily for tonight, but I think that's a great example of a specific issue we can look at.
Yeah, because, well, and my real issue is that that does not summarize what the state says. I mean, the state's deal, from memory, not exact wording, the state says agriculture is exempt, including service roads and I believe barns, basically everything but confined animal feeding operations. Thurston County's says that only existing agriculture is exempt.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we can look at that, and you may be happy to know that agriculture and the SMP is the topic of the next fact sheet that we are going to produce, because we've gotten a lot of questions about it in the last month or so. Okay, anything else for my list?
Just to reiterate what Scott said of, you know, and Patrick Townsend not bringing that up sooner, we have to remember that the website that gave us comparisons and whatnot was not available until this year. So in the spring, but at least within the last year. So it hasn't been available, even though it was there since 2014. It was not easy for the public to look at and see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else on SMP for this evening? This obviously is not the last time we're going to discuss it, but if you have any big ideas this evening, happy to take them down. And if not, that would conclude SMP work session for this evening.
Thanks, Andrew. Great job. It's a tough one. So we appreciate your work. So unless there's anything else, great job, crew.
One point, I sent an email to Polly, regarding feedback I got from the public hearing on the SMP, you know, from a perspective of someone who was actually testifying. And I don't think she sent it on to all of you yet. So, you know, I would like to be able to discuss that at some point in time as to how people view the Zoom public hearing and how we might improve what we do to make it a better experience for the public.
Absolutely. There was moments. Yeah. No doubt, Doug.
So I'd like to see that on the agenda for us to discuss, and at least have Polly send my email off to the rest of you for consideration. If you don't want to put it on the agenda, don't, but.
Do you know if we will be having any discussions anytime soon about in-person meetings with COVID restrictions? I know that the Board of County Commissioners meets in person, and obviously our SMP public hearing was a hybrid, but now we're back to 100% virtual again. And I personally like in-person meetings. The stuff that happens before and after has proven to be very important. I don't know when that discussion could be had, when we can start maybe moving forward to more in-person stuff, but I'd like to be able to start thinking about that kind of thing.
So we can definitely have that discussion or put that on the agenda for you all to have that discussion. And I can look into a bit more if there are any discussions at the executive level about what they see moving forward for their boards and commissions as far as in-person, hybrid. Just know that at this time, even if we do the board or the commission does choose to go back to in-person meetings, we do, under Governor Inslee's order, we do have to have it be in hybrid. So we would still need to have Zoom capabilities. So that does limit where we have our meetings in order to make sure that we have the technology in place. But we can definitely have that conversation and look at what the future will hold.
Any other thoughts? Thank you all again, and we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Night.